Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Art Rayner to the podcast. Art serves as vice president for institutional advancement at Southeastern Seminary. He is also co-founder of Rayner Publishing, and he has written four books, Raising Dad, Simple Life, The Minister's Salary, and now The Money Challenge. Art, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a delight to get to visit with you today. And of course, you're serving there at Sister Seminary Southeastern in Wake Forest, North Carolina. I have so many dear friends there and consider you guys just really key partners in ministry and grateful to God for all that's taking place there. And so Godspeed to you guys there as we record this. It's kind of the beginning of a semester and the beginning of the academic year. And so we pray God's best on Southeastern Seminary and the students and faculty staff there as this new academic year gets underway. Art, before we hop into the meat of the conversation, just give us a word about yourself. Tell us about how you wound up at Southeastern, what you do there, and what led you to write this book, The Money Challenge.
Well, let me work in reverse order here. So before I arrived at Southeastern, I've been here for about 4 years now. I was an administrative pastor down at a church called Family Church. Jimmy Scroggins is a senior pastor there. And I worked with Jimmy and Family Church for about 5 years. As an administrative pastor, I oversaw their finances, their HR communications, and a few other areas. And then prior to that, I was in the banking world. And specifically, I was down in South Florida working at a bank that's no longer in existence. It was called Wachovia. Wells Fargo ended up buying it out. And I received a phone call from Jimmy one early morning. He knew that I was down in South Florida. He had just moved down to South Florida and had asked if I would consider joining their team to help write the finances of their church. They had been going through some financial difficulties, and he had asked if I would help them work through some of their issues. And I guess you could use the term calling on my life, but I immediately knew that that's what God wanted me to do. And so I left the banking world and dove headfirst into full-time vocational ministry at the church. Now, being in the world of finances, I've always had a heart for helping individuals who are struggling financially, and helping direct and guide their finances in a biblical manner. I was able to also do that at Family Church, in particular working with the premarital counseling program that we had, and helping couples who are preparing for marriage get their finances straightened out before they enter into the marriages. And so this has been a passion of mine, an area of passion of mine for quite some time, and it's a great honor to be able to actually put the thoughts that I've had for quite some time into this book, The Money Challenge.
And so today we'll be talking about the book and really stemming out from the book, just the broader topic of personal finance as relates to the pastor's money and as relates to how the pastor engages and leads the local church. So we've entitled the podcast, The Preacher and His Money. Art, you know, I remember so very well becoming a believer my freshman year in college, now a little over 20 years ago. And shortly thereafter, as I was a believer and beginning to start dating the girl who become my wife, Karen, a guy in the church, a church member, gave me a book by Larry Burkett on personal finances. And this was a name that many of our listeners know very well. Others who perhaps are younger have never even heard of. Larry Burkett was incredibly popular in the 80s and 90s, and I guess even the 70s in the evangelical world as far as Christian stewardship. And it was a little book basically about how to order your personal finances. It touched on everything from budgeting to tithing to saving for retirement and all the rest. And I remember I digested that book, sought to implement some of the lessons. And then a few years later, I went off to seminary. I was in Louisville, Kentucky in the early 2000s. And on my commute from my apartment to seminary, I'm turning on the radio one day and I hear this new voice named Dave Ramsey. And Dave was around, but relatively new then. He didn't have the massive following he has now. And I remember thinking, this guy is like Larry Burkett, but with a very gifted personality and wit. And so Larry Burkett, Dave Ramsey, both have written and coached and spent a lot of time the past generation or two on this topic. Really pleased to see your book come in with kind of in some ways similar, but in some ways different and distinct. And speaking to Christian families, especially Christian men, Christian women, how they can order their finances. And I just want to say on the front end, I think it's a very helpful contribution to the conversation. So perhaps even as, again, we're talking about this book and we're talking about the topic, The Preacher and His Money. As relates to the book, what are you hoping your book contributes to that ongoing conversation, the evangelical world, where it's Larry Burkett or Dave Ramsey or other people who are speaking into this topic?
Well, I first off want to say that Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey are incredible men, and I appreciate their ministry and what they do and what they've done for the church. The money challenge, the starting point for the money challenge is generosity. So the Bible teaches us that giving is to be a priority, and so the money challenge starts there. I believe that God has designed us not to be hoarders, but conduits through which his generosity flows. And so in the money challenge, we begin with generosity before we start addressing any of the other issues that there may be in somebody's financial situation. Generosity is the foundation upon which I believe real biblical financial health is founded. And so the angle is a little bit different. The emphasis is discovering God's design for you and your money, primarily through the lens of generosity.
Very good. Very well put. And I think that's a very helpful, again, contribution you're making. And it's been interesting to note that tracks back to those early years of listening to Dave Ramsey. He would often say, if you live like no one else, later you can live like no one else. And I've noticed in more recent years when I occasionally hear him, he's kind of reworded that a little bit, where he says, if you live like no one else now, referring to intentionality and personal frugality, you can later live and give like no one else. And so the way you pull out that topic of generosity and make it front and center for the Christian is distinctive and is welcome. In your book, Art, you talk about really a three-step formula as the foundation for the rest of the book. Perhaps you can flesh out for us kind of these three essential steps and why, in your mind, they're so fundamental to stewarding one's money wisely.
We often make finances way too complex. And so when we looked at the Bible and look at the principles that it gives us for stewarding our finances well, you see three different steps, or see a pattern develop. And it starts, as I mentioned, with giving generously. So the very first thing we're to do is to give generously. Now, that's an area where many Christians struggle. They usually think of generosity or giving as an afterthought or as a leftover. They pay for their bills, they pay for their needs, they even pay for the wants, and then they determine at the end of the month what they have left over to give to the local church. The Bible, of course, flips it on its head, and that's where you need to start. So the very first step is to give generously. The second step is to save wisely. So we give generously, then we save wisely. The Bible, all throughout Scripture, teaches about the importance of setting aside money, whether it's for a near emergency or a minor emergency or a major emergency. We need to set aside money for the future. Now, why do we set aside money for the future? Well, I think it goes back to our generosity, our ability to be generous. If we have money set aside for, let's say, a car repair, well, that means that we don't have to dip into what we would typically give to the local church. So we already have money set aside for that type of expense. So we save to give. And then finally, the third step is live appropriately. So we give generously, save wisely, and then live appropriately.
Art, let's pause just for a moment for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's 81-hour Master of Divinity degree prepares you for ministry today and tomorrow. Midwestern Seminary's flagship degree program is our primary track for ministry preparation. Requiring only 81 credit hours, the MDiv program is an efficient option for students, equipping them to serve the church in pastoral ministry. Residential students will be trained in a unique community environment passionately focused on the local church. Online students can earn the full degree without leaving their current ministry context. Come be a part of one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America as we develop a new culture of discipleship devoted to the local church and committed to taking God's unchanging word into a rapidly changing world. Visit mbts.edu/mdiv today.
All right, I'm back on Preaching and Preachers here talking with Art Rayner. The title of the podcast is The Preacher and His Money. So when you take those three principles you build the book on and you think about the local church and how a preacher lives and leads within the local church, help us to apply that, everything from the pulpit ministry to discipleship context. And we have to acknowledge that that many preachers are just very reticent to speak to money. And the obvious reason is because it can appear and perhaps even feel to the preacher self-serving. People think, well, he's just preaching on money or on giving because he wants a pay raise or wants the church to have a bigger budget. And look, it is a challenge, and a challenge that really hinders or precludes many preachers from dealing with topics, biblically speaking, on money. And we all know the statistics about how much Jesus spoke about money, where one's treasure is, one's heart is. I remember feeling this in my own way back many years ago in two different local church ministry contexts. One was when the budget time came around, I realized I hadn't preached on giving or on money in quite some time, over a year. I wanted to preach a sermon on money, and I did, but I remember feeling that inner tension about, man, I'm preaching on giving, and what are people going to think about me? What are they going to include about my motives? And just feeling almost dirty when I preached on giving. The other time I remember, and it was just a few weeks later after that scenario I just described, I was talking to a church member who was in the military, and he was about to receive in coming days a significant promotion from major to lieutenant colonel, and which would mean a significant more money per month. And he made the comment to me, he said, I'm getting promoted, and my great life dilemma is now whether I buy a new Suburban or I open an IRA. And I just remember thinking in that very moment, what's going on in our churches if church members view a major pay raise as a great crisis between do I choose a new SUV, a new Suburban, or do I put more money away for savings? What about the possibility of giving more or blessing people more with those resources? So with these three pillars and kind of how I just fleshed out often the dynamic in the local churches, what do you say to preachers listening to this podcast who perhaps have felt or do feel as I felt and perhaps who routinely bump into conversations like I bumped into?
Well, I'll first point out, you had mentioned a sense of discomfort when you were speaking about generosity, and you're right, many pastors feel that exact same level of discomfort. And it's unfortunate because there's a very small group of pastors that may take advantage of the pulpit for financial gain. Of course, the vast majority of pastors do not do such a thing, but pastors do not want to be lumped into that small group of pastors that are viewed in that way. And the second thing is, as opposed to teaching, and so what happens is pastors tend to teach very sporadically or very rarely on finances. But if we follow the teachings of Jesus and the pattern of the Bible, we see that he weaves giving and financial stewardship throughout his teachings. And so it's not this anomaly that seems to come out of the blue. It's something that he's been talking about all along. And so what I recommend pastors do, and what I see generous churches do, those that seem to experience a rise in their generosity or their church members' generosity, is to teach about money, finances, on a pretty regular basis, just like Jesus did. And that way, church members aren't going to experience this supposedly knee-jerk reaction to teachings on money. So I would recommend teaching about it more regularly. I also recommend teaching about not just from the pulpit, but also in small group settings. So that's taking place both in the large group and the small group settings, so that there starts to develop a culture of generosity within the church. Gerald Panis, he's a gentleman who's written a few books, not necessarily about church finances, but just about why people give in general. And so the people give to organizations for three different reasons. One, they believe in their mission. Two, they believe in their leadership. And then three, they believe that the money will be taken care of in the way that it was meant to. So there's a sense of financial accountability. And so when we talk about giving, we of course need to also talk about the impact that that giving will have, that lives will be changed, that God will use it and multiply it to spread the gospel not only throughout the community, but also around the world. So it's also, it's not giving for the sake of giving, not giving just so that the church can meet their budgetary needs, but it's giving so that God's kingdom will be advanced well beyond the walls of that particular church.
You use the word generosity a good deal in this conversation, then of course much in your book. Define for us what you mean by that. What do we mean by generosity?
So generosity is not just about how much money am I giving. The Luke 21 with the story of the widow's gift tells us that it's not about how much you give, and God's economy is not about the amount that's given, but it's the amount of sacrifice that's taken place. So it's not a certain number. It's being willing to lay everything at the altar for Christ. It's not just your money. It's anything and everything that God has given you. When we look at the parable of the talents, we see that, granted, it is money, but it's much more than that. It's anything that God has given us is a gift from Him, and it is His, and He gives it to us to manage well to advance His kingdom. So, for some, generosity may mean extravagant giving, numerically extravagant giving. For others, they might not be able to do that, but they do the best that they can, much like the widow's gift. But it's also being generous with your home, having people over to your house, opening it up, having small groups at your house, being generous with your car. Whatever God has given you, it's living with your hands wide open, saying it's yours, and you do with it as you will.
So in your book, you talk about four generosity killers. And they are, one, keeping up with the Joneses, number two, debt, number three, disorganization, and number four, the financially separate marriage. So four generosity killers, number one, keeping up with the Joneses, number two, debt, number three, disorganization, number four, the financially separate marriage. I'm curious in your research and in conversations you're having with pastors, is there one or perhaps two of these generosity killers that tend to show up in the lives of preachers and the lives of pastors more than others? And if so, how might we combat this?
Well, debt is prevalent throughout all of our American society, and that it hits the pastors just as much as it hits those in the pews. And so just as a person in the pew needs to grapple with getting rid of that debt, the pastor needs to do the same. Now, one of the ones that I'm most passionate about, of course, I'm passionate about all four of those, but it's that last one, a financially separate marriage. I'll tell you a quick story. I was sitting in my office at a bank. I had a couple right in front of me, and I just had to decline them for a mortgage, and of course the follow up question was why. And so I started working through their credit report to show them, here's what I'm seeing and some things that you may need to work on to be able to get approved for a mortgage. And as I went through the list of the debts they owed, I came across a credit card. As soon as I said that credit card, the wife who was looking at me said, "That's not ours." Of course, I said, "Well, great. Let me help you report this to the credit bureau. Let me help you get this off of your credit report, because at least it's one that we can take care of and hopefully improve your credit score." Looked at the husband, who was sitting across from me as well. He started getting a little red and a little sweaty, and I could tell that something was not right. And as we continued that conversation about that one particular credit card, he said, "Don't worry about it." And of course, the wife then turned to him and said, "What are you talking about? Why?" And then she saw what I could see, that he was very uncomfortable with whatever that credit card represented. The wife then turned to me and said, "I'm sorry, Art, but we are going to have to leave." They got up, walked out of my office, and I never saw them again. Now, I have no idea how their marriage is doing now, but I do know that their marriage was worse when they left my office than when they originally arrived. And it was because they were not on the same page with their finances. There were things that were hidden from one another that were affecting one another, whether they knew it or not. And that's unfortunately common. And that's an issue that when I speak to specifically couples that are going through premarital counseling, that I recommend you need to get on the same page with your finances, because it's a way to communicate trust, it's a way to communicate unity, it's a way to communicate oneness in your marriage, which of course God has called us to do.
Yeah, there's just no way to think favorably on separate, and especially separate and secretive bank accounts.
That's right.
Listen, time is flying here, and we just have a few moments left for this podcast. I wish we could spend the hour diving into the book, but perhaps let me wrap it up this way by asking you one final question. What are some practical steps you would encourage preachers, you would encourage pastors to take for themselves to be better stewards?
Starts with following the biblical pattern that has been laid out for us. That give generously, save wisely, and live appropriately. God does not give us an exclusion clause when it comes to giving. He just tells us to give even in the midst of financially difficult times. I know there's a number of pastors out there that struggle with their finances, not because they've made a bunch of bad decisions, but because maybe their salary is low. Maybe they're bivocational and they're struggling to just simply pay the bills. And so even the thought of giving being the priority, it's a challenge for them. So I want to encourage them in that to continue pursuing giving generously as God has called us to do. And then walk through, if you've read the Money Challenge, I do encourage them to pick that up. There's 8 milestones that are laid out in the Money Challenge. And just walk through each of those milestones. But all of them are very doable over an extended period of time. So you're not going to get them all done in a month, but they are very doable. And so start walking through each of those 8 milestones.
Art, well said. Thank you for the book. Thank you for the conversation today. And thank you for your work at Southeastern Seminary. May the Lord richly bless you and all that he's entrusted to you. And until next time, friends, this is Preaching and Preachers with Jason Allen, who's talked with Art Rayner on the preacher and his money.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.